It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, welcome to Tyrus and the Wise Men. But the rest of the crew is admiring. EC3 is shirtless again, as he always is. Is this from the shack? Are we down at the shack? Are we at a coffee shop? Because usually you're our guy out on the town.
Yes. Today I decided, because we had such a good conversation, especially the last 20 minutes, like to be in the shack in my fortress of solitude, where I can think clearly and speak well to not only my best friends, but also the billions of people on the Fox News Network. You know, I feel this is where I need to be to really bring the wise men, you know, a good dynamic.
I got to admit, fellas, I'm a little down today. So
I don't like that.
So, you know, in this climate where like being a man apparently is like the worst thing in the world, right? And yeah, as if there's not enough pressure in just being a man, right? Because there's so many rules that apply to us that doesn't apply to everybody else in terms of like success and taking care of people. Men aren't allowed to ever say, I'm sorry, I'm having a bad day. I just can't today, you know, because then they're like, oh, what a, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't.
Yep.
And I was walking out of my hotel room the other day, and I'll leave him nameless to protect him, but one of the door guys is one of my favorite people, and him and I talk sports, you know, because that's the guys, you know, that's alpha male or our love language is always, you know, we talk sports or whatever. And I caught him on a bad day, and this dude is always laughing. He's always positive, you know, and his son plays professional sports, and he's like on that cusp of making the team. You know, he's an undrafted free agent, so he's doing all that stuff. And I say, hey, man, how we doing? And usually it's just when people ask me, y'all know what I say, maintaining. You know, it's like, how you doing? Maintaining. And because no one wants any more than that. No one ever, if you said, well, actually, I'm kind of have a, the average person would stop and be like, man, I didn't sign up for that. I was just, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
no one.
Casual conversation.
Yeah. Say no. I'll admit it. It's my favorite thing to say to people.
Maintain it, yeah. Because it's just.
Maintain room temperature, brother.
Yeah,
like,
just,
all that.
Yeah, all that. Just, you know, I'm all right.
When you say maintaining, too, like you're giving a different perspective because, you know, the usual blow off is like, hey, how are you? Good. You're not good.
Yeah, no one's ever good.
But you're maintaining it, gives a little different dynamic, and it keeps it.
And you can keep walking. It's puzzling enough to where you don't have to stop. How you living? Maintaining. Just, and you go about your business. This weekend at our shows, Billy Corgan said to me, he stole my catchphrase to when people ask him, you know, how you do it. He says, maintaining. And I said, the beautiful thing about maintaining, and of course, anyone can use it, but you can do it when you walk. And he was like, wait a minute, what do you mean? I said, just someone says something to you, you don't want to talk. Like, hey, Billy, how are you? Maintaining, and you don't have to break stride. It's not a response. It's a non-response sentence. There's nothing that needs to be said back to somebody who's maintaining. He's letting you know that he's keeping everything status quo. Nothing exciting, nothing thrilling, nothing horrible. It's just business as usual. So you don't really want to talk about, no one ever wants to talk about business as usual. They, you know, so with that, I was expecting to start a conversation about the Celtics or see how I was asked how his son was doing. And he just said, I'm not having a good day, man. And this, we've been doing this for 7 years. And I said, oh, man, you all right? What's going on? And he said, my wife died.
Oh.
And I said, damn, man, I'm really sorry to hear that. And he said, no, it's okay. We've been fighting cancer for 6 months. And she's tired. She was tired, and she's in a better place. And I just instinctively hugged him, you know. And this is other than like a, you know, a dap or whatever. And I said to him, "It's never going to get better, but you're going to get stronger." It's the same thing I said to Kevin Nash. And I started walking, man, and I thought I had no idea. Now it's not like maybe I should have, but like he showed nothing. He was always a rock, always did his job, always made sure he had a smile on his face for people. He wasn't allowed to ever say, like, hey, we're having a bad week with chemo, or hey, my wife's got cancer, because we just don't talk like that. And we're just, and when we do talk like that, that's the reaction, is like, you just don't know what to do. And I don't know why it's like that. I don't know why men have to be so violent to themselves on the inside to get to a place to where you can actually say something like that. Like I'm saying, you don't want to share everything with everybody, but it just it's not eating at me, but I'm just like, man, this dude carried that every day and nobody knew but him. But I guess that's the way it's supposed to be.
I don't
know where it is. We as men can't turn that off, bro. Like we have to be that constant strength and that constant supportive system for everybody else, that I don't think it's something we can even turn off for each other. Not to mention, I think it's in this climate, like you said earlier, it's a sign of weakness when you go, I'm struggling today. It took that man's wife passing away for him to admit any type of emotion to you.
Right. And he only said it to another man. He wouldn't say it to anybody else. Everyone else, he got their bags and smiled and made sure they needed where they go, you know?
And obviously you guys had a connection, so he felt comfortable saying that to you. But, like, you're right. Like, you may be the only person he said that to all day. You know what I mean? And that's a hell of a weight to carry by yourself.
Yeah, he's not going to post on his social media his feelings, mm-hmm. you know, in this world that's trying to be overtaken by cowards. Because nothing, a coward loves nothing more than see a man fall or a hero fall. Like they love that. The weak love to see the strong fall and suffer because it gives them a justification for their miserable existence. So right. it really it's like, damn, why do we always it's just the way it is. I mean, I guess if you don't do that, then you kind of lose the edge, you know?
Yeah, but bro, if you don't talk about it. You know, we've all on this podcast right now, I've spoke to everybody about a personal situation of some form or fashion, because I felt like I needed to get it out, because if I didn't get it out, it was going to start affecting my daily life. When I lost the title the first time, that bothered me. I've had separate conversations with all you guys about it because how much it bothered me. I don't know if I would still be cool with everything if I wouldn't have had that opportunity to talk to you guys and for someone to look at me and go, I understand what you're feeling is normal. We need to be able to start, what's the word I'm looking for? Making that, normalize that.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah.
You know, because we started doing homie checks, right? That was like the thing we did, because we'd never check on each other because we assume that we're all right, you know? And, I talk about, like, when I said, like, the violence you do to yourself to maintain is, like, you'll tear yourself up on the inside. You just hold it in, you know. But it always comes out in other ways, but it's usually self-destructive. So that's where, like, doing things to, like, feel better in the moment, you know, whether it's drugs or food or women or crazy training, you know what I'm saying?
Sometimes.
Self-sabotage.
For sure. But sometimes, too, when I'm, you know, dealing with some things and people are asking, maybe this is just me, but asking me about it and I'm talking about it, I become very fired up and angry even more. So it's almost easier to not address it. So I'm not, like, just the other day, I'm like, why am I yelling at my friend about something that has nothing to do? And they're just checking in on me. I'm not yelling, but I'm just like, oh, this is, you know, cutting promos that maybe it's easier to be. I'm maintaining and then walking off.
We'll be back with much more after this.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in freefall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Who was the hottest Nitro girl?
Good segue. Anyway,
I don't know. Yeah. Dallas Page's wife, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, no way.
I don't know. Sean came out with a hottie there.
Yeah.
I don't legally we're allowed to acknowledge that, because beauty is, I don't know.
I don't.
Was there an ugly one? I don't think there was. I don't think you lose any of those selections.
Yeah. You're not kicking any of them out. For sure.
Yeah.
I would say, because, you know, to compliment the aesthetic beauty of the fairer sex of women does seem to get us into trouble now. What I'd like to say is Oh, she has a good vibe. There's a nice energy about her, which is my way of saying.
That's not saying she's got a good personality, bro. Yeah.
No, but you can't say, excuse me, miss, you're pretty, because she'll be like, oh, I'm not going to conform to your definition of what pretty is. How dare you? So, yeah, you know, it's like helpful hints to get through your day without being called a chauvinist male pig.
What happened to just taking a compliment, man? Like, hey, you know what?
Well, they get compliments all day. Dude, they get compliments all day. They don't want them.
But they get
They get them going to the gas station. You know what I'm saying?
But cat calling and a compliment are two different things.
Yeah. But now, like, have you seen this like little trend on TikTok where, you know, women will dress, you know, pretty scantily, dare I say, at the gym.
Provocatively.
Yeah, set up their camera to catch people.
Bear traps.
What are you doing?
What?
Do you guys feel it's harder to like because of the internet and online dating and all that stuff? It's even harder.
It's also harder when you have a girl.
Or a wife.
It tends to put a sprocket on things, so to speak. So I guess that question should be pointed at Aaron or EC3, because the rest of us are out the game.
Yeah,
willingly, for the record, willingly.
It makes it less likely. I don't know.
How often do you get approached by girls?
Quite often, to be honest.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
I'm not kidding.
I'm calling bull.
No. You guys don't know.
I want to hear this. Aaron is the handsome half-breed. Who knew?
No.
All right.
No.
Al Perez is in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
EC3, how often you get it?
Yeah, I want to hear from EC3. I don't believe Aaron. I don't believe Aaron. Not for one second.
Yeah, about the, you know, aesthetically physical perfection I've achieved and the low body fat and the strong jawline and the natural
muscle. I'm just hot.
And the aristocratic mustache and goatee of an artist.
Yeah, big fan. Caveats of the Count of Monte Cristo kind of updated look and the overall intelligence. I get a hit on by guys way more. Like,
that's not where I was living. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, a compliment's a compliment, right? It's all a compliment.
I didn't know you were going to stooge me out, bro. I didn't know you were going to stooge me out.
Trevor, how often do you get it? Because, you know, you're in a different kind of shape.
Come on, guys. Okay, I'm going to tell you
the
same thing I've told my wife years ago. I am in a locker room full of jacked up gorillas that spend way, way more time in the gym than I ever have. Girls ain't running to old Trevor. That's for damn sure.
Not even like when y'all grocery shopping or you like go to the mall or something or maybe at the bar.
Well, back in the day, yeah, you'd have a couple of the old trailer park ladies that missing a several teeth think it was okay to talk to me inappropriately in front of my wife. But my wife would just laugh at it. She's like, go ahead.
Yeah, other than outside the Piggly Wiggly on a Saturday night, the well's kind of dry, huh?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of high quality talent, if you know what I mean.
I get it from a lot of elderly women.
Oh yeah, I was like, show they loved you.
I've been to your show. Yeah, yeah. I bet that
they love you.
Yeah, they're at the age where they give zero. You know, so they just they say what they want to. You know, their husbands just smile. I want to get to that point to where I could take a picture of my wife taking a picture with another guy and telling him that he's her bucket list, and me going smile and taking the picture like that level of just, hey, bro, I don't care. I'm just here. I'm just maintaining. Now, A-Rye, at one time you were considered a sex symbol.
I know where this is going.
Continue.
I'm right. I'm all pretty man.
A-Rye was, he was like the hottest guy in the WWE, arguably.
Total hunk. Close.
Yeah,
close.
You know, top three, easy. You know, top three. That had to be, you were like a rock star.
you know, especially during the height of you and Miz's popularity. You had to have been, you know, just on everybody's Christmas wish list.
No, I never got any of that. I was always kind of just kept to myself. But I thought what you're getting at is I was a sex symbol. Now I'm clearly not.
Whoa, we're all friends here. What the hell? Jesus, you miss one dive and you just lose your mind. Let's just get it out. Let's talk about it, okay? A-Rod missed the dive, okay? All of us have enjoyed it for hours on YouTube. Let's just let it go. Okay? It happens to all of us. Never, not me, but it happens to a lot of people. Poor Luke. Luke got shot off, and the other guy pulled the rope down, and he basically fell to his death. Oh, you don't hear him crying about it.
Hey, I missed though. I should have hooked.
A-Rod should have looked.
To be 100% truthful, I thought it might have happened the other way. I was glad I was able to get from rope to rope in there, to be honest. And then at the end, you know, caught my thigh.
You got Wile E. Coyote. You know, it's EC3. Well, he's like a little roadrunner, man. You know.
Right, and I figured, jacked as EC3 is, you know, and I'm coming out there now, what can I do? And I figured the best thing was to do was throw myself out of the ring and give it a shot.
It's a good strategy. It just didn't pay off.
It's called high-risk maneuver for a reason. High risk. Right. It's even worse. It's even higher risk when he's not within 10 feet of you.
Right. My vertical isn't what it once was.
Hey, it's not supposed to be. You got wisdom now. Hit the set shot.
From Kevin stepping back into a ring in a very high-profile atmosphere, kudos for being able to pull that
pay-per-view.
Up.
Yeah, pay-per-view.
Well, think about this. Like, you know, you fought from underneath the entirety of the match. It gave me, you know, an adequate fight. But if you did hit that dive, you may have won the match. It was a wild risk. It just, you know what? It didn't work out that time.
And I'm telling you, Kevin, what you don't understand is that clip is going to make it on a lot of other different shows. So it's going to carry a lot of popularity.
I'm actually using it on Gutfeld tonight.
Are you really?
No, I'm not.
I'm Tyrus. How's your weekend?
It was all right, man. I had, of course, you know, the pay-per-view was pretty successful. It's nice to have a week of sold-out TVs. That's cool.
Congrats to everybody.
Somebody made the Super Bowl commercial, boys.
Yeah, we had the Super Bowl commercial. My son grew 2 inches in about 4 weeks. So I was surprised when he came to the show and walked in. I was like, did you get taller? So, you know, and then we measured him, and he's right around, he's literally a tippy toe away from 6 feet, and he's 11 years old. Wow. So he's officially a grown ass man. Physically, but not mentally.
What about sitting there? Did he know the commercial was coming? I want to talk about that.
He knew because he was complaining to me. So he made up in his mind that if it wasn't in the first thing, like first round draft pick, it wasn't a good commercial. So he kept saying he was counting the commercials. So when it got to like 8, he's like, "Up the round 8, you're still not up, Dad." I was like, "Son, it's going to come up, you know." And he's like, "That's 9. That's 10." And I was like, "You're going to be a jerk about this, huh?" And then it actually was in the best spot because it was the commercial that led into halftime. So and then it was on the back end of the third quarter. So my kids are funny. You know, and Luke, you probably can recognize this. They don't really get that fired up about TV stuff. They really don't. They just, you know, it was more like he kept saying, "Hey, I want to go swimming, Dad," and we went swimming. I didn't see the second half of the Super Bowl because my son wanted to go swimming. So, so I took him. We went back to the hotel and we went swimming. So,
they already read the script, anyways.
Yeah.
They don't relate to it. They don't relate to it because it's just a part of their everyday normal life. So, they don't care. It's not a big, like, it is a big deal for us when we get an opportunity or, you know, your friends, when you see your friends get an opportunity and you can be like, "Damn, look at my friend doing this." Our kids don't give a damn unless, like, they're in the process. They went through the process of the struggle with you and everything, and they understand what it means. They just, bro, they want to be a kid. They don't understand life how we look at it, you know? So
yeah, that's why. He gave me a high five, and he liked that I had my belt on. And but that was, and then it was on to the pool, to which the most physical match I had, no offense to Matt or Rolando, was my son in the pool throwing chops like he had no idea. Like his grandfather was teaching him how to throw a chop, and when I talked to his grandfather, I said, "Teach him to work, man. This dude's stiff." First time he hit me, I said, "Hey, we got to talk, man. That's, you're gonna hurt somebody. Like that's not." He's like, "No, that's how Pa taught me." I said, "Pa's got a sense of humor. You can't hit people like that. No one's gonna play with you if you hit him like that." So we're doing all that, and you know, we got the good time in and sleep and all that kind of stuff. But what I was most impressed with was the reaction of my friends. I'll be honest with you, like it was really cool with Trevor and Aaron and Rob. And, you know, EC3 is like, you're in a Super Bowl commercial. In this day and age, what's funny is when any one of us is successful in anything, we all rally around each other. And I think that's the coolest thing about our group. That's the coolest thing about being in the NWA with our group of guys that we have, because we're all happy for each other. There's nothing worse than working with somebody when you're doing well, because they treat you like a king because they want to you royally, you know what I'm saying? And whenever you're doing well, they kind of get that look, you know what I'm saying? They're extra quiet because it's just, they're just pissed. And when I see that, when I'm around that kind of stuff, it has a way of like kind of like getting into you to where, and then you become negative and bitter. And I know that was the one thing, it wasn't from the boys in the WWE, but like it was from like the writers and like people that really love to tell you what you weren't doing all the time opposed to what you're doing. And when you did have a good moment, they will remind you how short it was going to be, you know, and like you start listening to those people, you get no joy in anything. It's like they take the joy from, but you allow them to, you know, and it was kind of cool because I didn't say, "All right, everybody, shut up. Commercial's coming. It's my moment." We just let it roll. Probably the best was Chris Masters, who was like, "Did I just see Tyrus in a Super Bowl commercial?" And he was like, "No, bro, that wasn't you. That wasn't you." I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Why didn't you tell me?" I was like, "I didn't think I needed to. Like, did I need to walk around to every person in the back going, 'Hey, guys, it's a Super Bowl commercial. Hey, guys, it's a Super Bowl commercial.'" You know, like, and also, I'm a wrestler and my match was cut at Mania. Don't say until it's happened.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You count them chickens, man. Make sure the eggs, you got eggshells.
Yeah.
So back to Aaron. So wherever you go, you get hit on?
No, of course not. It's not like every single place I go, right?
But how many days a week?
Over this past year of my life, right, when I was really kind of having to kind of refocus and get out of my
How many days a week? Three, four?
Three. Yeah, I'll say three.
Solid three.
Like, whether it's like the supermarket, lady came up to me, that, you know what I mean? There's just, it's the way it is.
Yeah. Is it a Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Like, is it the beginning of the week?
I don't know. I'm giving you an average, man. And the thing is, what I'm trying to say is this. I don't put out, like, I'm very happy being single and working on me. I have a lot of stuff to work through, and I'm doing a damn good job of it. Look, I mean, look at the new jacket I've got. Can we talk about that at some point?
We'll talk about your new jacket.
No,
yes.
But what it is, right, is like, okay, so as a man, and then you put these expectations, right? Like we were talking about this, right? So, okay, if I was to get hit on by a lot of women, people would think I'm stupid because I'm not acting on it. When myself, I need to say, hey, everyone needs to back the hell up, and I need to kind of focus on me. Because for too long, I have gotten myself into a lot of situations with women that led to a very, very, very wrong road, shall we say. And a destination that I had no really intention of being there, right? And this has happened time and time again. So with me kind of saying, screw what people think of me or whatever, I need to just kind of handle my own for about a year or however long it takes. That's a decision that I actually don't regret, because I will use these last set of tapings as an example. For the first time as a performer, I finally really felt like I was me again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
But go back to bashing and making fun of me. I just wanted to get that out there because that's kind of, you know, going back to your point. I mean, look, you guys know I've talked to you all about my women. I mean, Luke, you know,
my women,
we spent some time together. Trevor, my God, you know, the whole Carrie
thing. Yeah.
But yeah, screw it. Like, I am better off being single right now, and that's the way it is. And I can't help it if I'm so attractive. I have no control.
Yeah. The weight we must bear in our lives.
Are you telling me that women have this tendency to just drain you and put you in like a negative space at points in your life?
No, and not every woman, but certain women. Absolutely.
Certain women, like 90% of them, or like how?
Well, you know what? I'll say this. In the course of my life, there have been really, I'd say, like three excellent women that have helped me and did not drain me. And I'm 40 years old, so, you know, do the math.
That, what does that mean? You could have been a late bloomer.
I used to be famous. You know, like, I used to be on TV.
You know, fame isn't what it's cracked up to be, man. It's not like it was back in, like, the 70s and 80s and stuff where, like, you were on TV and everybody just come running, screaming at you and stuff. Now they're just like, you ain't got a reality TV show. They don't care, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
What's in it for me? How can I get on TV with you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Exactly.
Or they just don't care and they walk into our locker room and try to lie and say it's a bathroom when they know damn good well it's not.
Well, that's because everybody wanted to see the big T, Trevor.
That's right. No, not at all.
It's all that. Hey, but you know what, though? You're selling yourself short, Trevor. You've been working your ass off in the gym, man, and it shows, man. It shows.
So it does happen.
Yes. He's a little bit of arm candy now, and so we got to keep an eye on him. Because he's young and impressionable. We don't want him to fall for any traps. So, you know, we just got to, you know, hey, ladies.
I got a wife. She will sit and she will snipe their ass out. My wife ain't no, you guys have all met my wife. Don't let that pretty, all sweet, innocent, I cook you a meal persona fool you. She will cut your ass.
Wait, your wife cooks?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
My wife makes breakfast and stuff. Yes, I'm a blessed man. My wife takes care of me, so I choose not to do anything to quote unquote f- that up. So there may be women hitting on me, and I just don't know, boys. You know what I mean? Because I just don't put it over. When I go on the road, legitimately, this is God's honest truth. When I go on the road anymore, I am more excited about hanging out with you guys and spending time with you guys than I am anything. Don't get me wrong.
Have you gotten yelled at for hanging out with the boys yet?
I have not gotten yelled at. I've gotten questioned, like, what are you doing? What are you and Aaron going to go do? It's always who I'm with. It depends on who I'm with.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like.
Well, I get the Aaron thing, but when you're with Tyrus, it can't be, you know.
No, not even close.
Yeah.
No.
But she's right to have. Because Aaron will get you in situations you didn't ask to be in, you know.
I don't do anything.
He always has a guy who's at a party, a dinner party of some sort, and then you show up there and everyone's in really shiny leather pants with no shirts.
I went to the castle one night in Tampa, and then I was hanging out at the hotel.
I was
going to
ask you, Aaron, if you went. Yeah.
Of course. I landed on Friday, and I went on Friday.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
I'm still kind of like heartbroken over the doorman.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, it really bothered me that I was more bothered that he has maintained this, and I hate using that word, but like, this dude went to work every day with that on, and you think about the weight that you put on yourself because it's not like he can go home and say, hey, I'm not going to work. Because I'm scared every time I walk out the door that you know, my wife's not going to be there when I get home. You can't, and he works in the service industry where he has to listen to people complain about their room not being ready or their bag not being properly put away. And the whole time, and the average weak-ass person in this country would have screamed at somebody, sat down and cried, not gone to work, went on their Facebook or their social media and looked for attention seeking, and everybody feel bad for me. And you would have think that they were going through the cancer treatments. which is the typical thing, you know, the victimization of themselves and being a victim. This man rolled his sleeves up and went to work every day and held himself to where no one knew what was going on, which means that he had to hold that burden on the inside while maintaining whatever, you know, what it is to be a man. You're just not allowed to. And again, you don't want to cry to a bunch of strangers, but I feel like your wife dying from a horrible battle with cancer.
It'd be hard for me to go to hard to go to work.
Yeah. Well, we've all done it. I can tell you, I remember one time I was wrestling in Europe, and the relationship that I was in at the time left the GPS on my iPad, and I could see on the iPad the individual going into somebody's house and calling and saying, "Where are you right now?" "Oh, I'm at home. I'm just relaxing, watching TV. Why? What's up?" And and then I got to go wrestle for 25 minutes. And knowing what's going down in your mind, and then you got to do a press conference, and then you got to sign autographs, and you got to do all this stuff. You can't say, "Hey, I can't talk right now. My entire life is imploding in Florida at the moment." You know, it's like you just can't do it. You know, my brother wiped out my accounts and stuff. Same thing. It's like I'm smiling on TV knowing that I'm being robbed while we're doing. You just can't do it, you know, because you have – if we break down, like if he would break down at work and would have cried and said, my wife's not doing well and I just can't take it right now, I think he'd be let go eventually.
Yeah.
Yep.
They'd just be like, "Oh, we just can't have that."
Yeah, when Trevor was talking about his wife and, you know, the homestead and keeping things in order, just kind of like, I think we've gotten so far from the need of the relationship between a husband and a wife or the man and the woman, especially your doorman. Like, a man's purpose and his drive to succeed is when he has a wife and a child to care for, and to lose that, like, to lose that drive and purpose is...
Oh, I couldn't imagine. I could not imagine. I mean, we all, joking aside, but I could not imagine walking this earth without my wife. Like, she's given me three beautiful children. I have created a life with her that I never thought I could honestly have as an adult. And for her to not be in that equation, would wreck me. So I can't imagine what that got. Because he's having to start. When your wife passes away or you don't have that person, you got to start your life basically over from day one. Not because you want to, because you have no choice. That next day, you have to live life without that person.
Your routines.
Yes, everything. Like, when I come home, like, my wife, you know, my wife and I have, you know, I think I got a good thing going. Like, we have, like you said, we have our own little routines. And when I get home, like, she makes me feel, you know, happy and wants to take care of me because I've been gone for 3 or 4 days getting my ass kicked and wants me to feel
comfortable. Yeah, you're damn straight you did.
I did. Yeah. You know, but to be able to walk into this house and not have her here would just destroy me. I can't even think about it without tearing up a little bit, man. So I can't imagine what that cat's going through.
We've gone through like such a shift in dynamic where they're trying to ruin the relationships between men and women. Like, a woman has a role to nurture you and to be like your helpmate, and for a man, it's irreplaceable. And I think the reason we're so quiet about things is because we feel like we have the role of provider and protector, and, you know, of that woman or of that child. So,
yeah, I mean, it's like if somebody breaks in your house, nobody here is going to look over and, "Hey, dear, it's your turn." You know what I'm saying? But could you imagine the reaction from us if Trevor said, "Hey, this guy broke in the house, but, you know, I was like, I'm always dealing with it. Why do I have to put my life on the line?" So my wife handled it, and she did pretty good. You know, he only got we would all not be friends with Trevor anymore. We'd refer to him as a coward. We're like, "Can you believe that? Like, what kind of a man?" Like, that's the men are the ones to run into the fire. But nobody wants to say, and then you'll hear someone go, "I can run in the fire just as good as a man can." You know, and it's like, that's not what the point is. The point is there's roles, and there's a long-standing tradition in what it is to be a man versus what it is to be a woman. And again, no job is better or
neither
easier.
they're both hard. And, you know,
and that's equal is, you know, the responsibility and respect between the man and the woman. Like, those jobs are equally needed and sought after and should be honored and embraced.
How cold-blooded is it that government, and I'm going to be a conspiracy theorist for a minute, has made it to where if you have to have a job to be important? Like, you can't be like, I'm a home provider and I raise my children and I help keep my husband able to keep going and working at a high level, as if somehow that role is less than that, you know, that role is no good, you know, and that's crazy to me.
But that role is almost non-existent now too. You got to think, especially for the middle class, because both parents usually have to work now.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. just to afford it.
They realize they can tax women. That's probably why they.
Yeah.
More tax money into the economy.
Because it's always played that way, you know. And I saw this thing on social media today, and because I was doing a post for I can't remember one of the shows I got coming up, and it was like the man was like, "Today is my first day as the home provider," and he it was like, there was nothing manly about like. And it was like the whole thing, and it was all this stuff, and like, oh, I'm so exhausted from washing dishes. And I was just like, this is offensive. This is so offensive. Like, you're for real, you know? And it was just like, they made it to where it was like such a thing for a man to do it. Like, it was this great accomplishment for this man to do it. But if a woman does it, somehow she didn't meet her potential. Like, that's the mindset, you know? But I'll be honest with you, man. I've worked my ass off to the point where I don't have to have my significance work. You know, you don't have to work. I just want to make sure that on Saturdays I get my roast beef sandwich with turkey, but I work my ass off for it.
Yeah, but see, get y'all's take on this. I had this conversation with mine. Even if mine's a physical therapist, right, and she's got a lot of initials behind her name. She's got a lot of freaking whatever. I don't know what they call it. Credentials,
accolades. So, yes.
Yeah. And specialties, right?
Right.
But she enjoys helping people, and she's always had the mentality that even if I was making, you know, $50 million a year, it doesn't matter. She would still want to work and do her thing because that's what she went to school for, and that's her passion. That right. So you know, like that's. It's difficult in our line of work too, because you know how it is with the travel, yep. And then I leave for 10 months or 6 months, and we're still trying to figure all that out. You know, we've only been together 4 years, but it's been great, but we're still trying to figure all that out with our schedules and long term. And what if I get a job where I have to go away for a couple years? How do we figure that out? You know, we've never had the luxury of even having a thought of saying, okay, well, you're going to quit your job and just go with me. Cause like, it's not even she would never process that in her mind.
No. And it's just because of assuming the roles of, you know, the feminine and the masculine, it doesn't mean a female's purpose can't be something driven by she's a healer. She wants to help people.
A business, yeah.
The thing though, she can leave. Here's the double standard that bothers me. She could give up her practice, and Luke could be the breadwinner and traveling and with all his success or whatever. But if Luke gave up his profession to be the one to stay home and take care of everything, people would be like asking her, how could she put up with that?
Yeah.
You know, there'd be something wrong with him.
100%.
You know, like, oh, wow. Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I couldn't have.
And that was a huge stigma when we first got together because they were like, he's a wrestler. Those guys are losers. I've seen the stories on those guys. They turn out to be trash and drug addicts and
Fox News contributors. And yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Online influencers, dirtbags. Guys that like to get whipped at the castle with their shirts off and then
put an eyeliner on.
Hey, you know what? It takes all kinds.
That's the part that bothers me so much because, but the wrestling thing, and that's the same thing, and that's what it comes down to. The only wrestlers they ever want to talk about is the dark stuff because that's what sells. Nobody wants to talk about wrestlers that transitioned and live happy lives and do what they do. Like, you know, a perfect example, Haku. You know, he was pound for pound the baddest man on the planet until Mike Tyson came along,
wrestled all over the country, was wrestled WWE, wrestled everywhere. And then he transitioned and he runs a giant car dealership and works in his 40 hours and does his things and takes care of his family and makes a great salary. But no one will ever want to hear that story. Nope. They only want to hear the story of the guy who ended up face down in his own blood, dying of a broken heart in a hotel room. That's the only story they want to hear about. And it happens.
Good thing for me.
Jesus.
Oh,
but,
God.
No, please.
I'm kidding.
No, but I'm just saying. It's like nobody wants to hear when the good stories because they don't sell. And it's the same thing with everything else. All they want to hear about is the stuff that sells. All they want to hear about is if something's racist or sexist or transphobic or you didn't say the right pronoun to a person you've never met before in your entire life. You know, you're supposed to be psychic. But you know, that's the downside of our business is they love to watch it and they love to criticize it and they love to tell us everything that's wrong with it. And then they love to say that we're not even decent people. You know, and that always always makes me laugh because it's like, but you there's there's plenty more bad people that never set foot in the ring. They just never got on camera. You know, and they never talk about that. They just like to go at it and then in general, you know, that's the thing, all those generalities or whatever, but it just bothers me sometimes that when a man makes a decision that's best for his family, that his family has to hear about what's wrong with him. Now, I'm not saying that Luke's going to give up his wrestling and acting career to be a stay-at-home dad, but the point is that if he chose to do that, there should be no one in society telling him there's something wrong with him for doing that. But unfortunately, yep. That's the world we live in.
To be fair, she even asked me about that, if I was willing to do that, because she wants to live in California, where she's from, and I don't really work out there that much.
No, no one does acting in California.
I obviously did. So she knows that. And I'm like, she's like, well, I make enough to take care of both of us. And I'm like, but she wouldn't ask me to leave my career, but she wanted to know if that would ever be a thought in my mind and how long did I plan on doing this for. If at any point would I be willing to give up, you know, not give up, but like move my life to over there. And if I'd be comfortable in slowing my life down and the things I do at any point.
Yeah, well, I think the pandemic kind of laid it out for us all to play out. Like by the time the pandemic was halfway through, I think everybody was ready for my ass to get back to work. You know, because I mean, you sitting across the same person every day, all day.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's been rough for me. Lately, like, and I just had this discussion with my girl and my son, and like, I actually broke down talking to him about it because I was like, I've never even been able to celebrate any of my victories. Yep. Like, out of all my battles and all the struggle, out of all struggle, everything, you know, just I've never been in a position to even celebrate my victories because of everything else in life or everything else around the situation. Whereas maybe I may have been doing good, like COVID. I couldn't brag about being on heels and shooting heels and coordinating a, you know, awesome show because people
and
were
getting
struggling.
Several guys' jobs and careers.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. So it was like I never ever got to celebrate a victory. It's always like, you know, even when I won, it was like I just solidly won. It was just like, damn, I couldn't even be happy
you're still
about
in
it
the
because
fight.
It's gonna piss people off. Yeah.
You're still in the fight. Well, one thing I've learned, and I don't know if this helps, but one rule I made for myself is that I've allowed myself a day to smell the roses when the job is done. I give myself a day. That means I can sit there and feel good about it, talk about it, and then I go back to work. But a long time, one of the reasons why you don't celebrate is because you're still working. It's like you're so hard on yourself that you can't give yourself a moment because the idea is if I relax, if I take a deep breath for a moment and say, man, good job, I'm going to fuck it up. So I can't. I have to keep grinding. And instead of just taking a pause and taking a moment to say, not only am I starring in a show of heels, is that I am running and giving opportunities to hundreds of guys, chances for careers. You know, coordinating stuff, keeping people safe, getting people where I need to go. And it should be, and it's not just one show, it's two shows. And you got to take a moment to be like, I did that. I took a day to do that and relax and enjoy it and talk about it and be proud of it. And then
you know, back to the grind. But you got to give yourself, you know, and same thing with Kylie. Instead of worrying about a damn dive you missed, Mary worried about the fact that you wrestled in a sold-out show when you hadn't been in the ring in almost 5 years. You wrestled one of the top guys in the industry today, and you didn't have to keep you. He didn't have to slow down for you. So
yeah,
and I think that's what I was worried. I was not when I saw you come back, and I know you from years of being around you and working with you. Is that was you're so worried about what he missed, and he's not focusing on what he did, and you should be ecstatic. That when your career was supposedly over and you would never do nothing in the wrestling business again, you wrestled in a pay-per-view just off your former accomplishments. That's saying something. Not all of us just to get the debut at a pay-per-view, you know, and you did that and you came back through. And I was looking for you to be like, bro, I did it. But instead I missed this. And I thought, man, Kevin, no, take time to smell the roses for a minute. Like, man, I conquered a lot of demons in there tonight, and I made my return to the ring. And you know what? It could have been the worst match there. It doesn't matter. And it wasn't. Trust me. Jesus, trust me.
It was not.
Dear God, no. There was some, that's a whole other episode. But, you know, you got to take that moment to go, I did some good stuff today. You know, I accomplished a lot of goals, and I'm going to enjoy it. And I maybe, you know. And take that moment to recognize, because all I wanted to do was hug you and say, man, I'm proud of you, man. That's so great. But you looked at me and were like, I missed the spot. It's on the internet. And I was like, the hell with that.
Right.
Yeah. What you guys didn't see, and, you know, I'm like super hypercritical. I'm a psychopath. I'm insane. I'm nuts.
A psycho boy. Yes.
That's right. Hard on everything I do. I was so happy with it. When I came back,
you were. He was. First thing he said to me.
But like, what you guys didn't see was Kevin's significant other and how happy she was.
And that's what matters.
Yep.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yes. Yes.
See, here's the thing. It's good, honestly, that it did happen, Kevin, because you're going to get more notoriety from that, which puts more eyes on you. If you just went out there and had a good match, nobody's going to give a. They're just going to say, oh, you know, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Right now, you get some traction behind you. It gets views. Yeah. If that's the only bad spot in the match, who gives a shit, right? They put eyes on you. They watch the match. They go, oh, well, the rest of the match was pretty damn good. He looks great. Boom, moving good. Now they're going to want to know what you do next time.
Yeah. It was the perfect story. It was perfect.
Yes. That's why I remember I went and I found you after the match, too. Like, you were standing there. Do you remember this? When I was like, hey, how was he? You know, wanted to see how Kevin was moving and stuff. And I remember, like, you know when you can tell, like, the look in someone's eye when it's, like, they're being sarcastic? Like, you look me dead in the eye, and you're like, no, like, you did really good. And after I heard this bullshit about the missed dive or whatever, I was like, no, like, because, you know, with EC3, who's been in the game so long, you know, dude, for him to say that, like, I'm telling you, man, that best case scenario, Kevin. And I'm just, again.
Listen, I've been in the ring with EC3, and I've walked through the curtain where he's like, well, that was the shit. can't get that back. excuse me, I'm gonna go kill myself because I was a part of that, you know. It's like we've all been there. We've had those matches where like I can't wait to wrestle again so I can put that one behind me. That was not the case. But
the other thing too, Kev, is like when I was telling you, like, we're all here, we've all been where you were at, and we all want to help you. There's no one in that locker room or on this podcast that will steer you in any wrong direction other than for you to be positive and to be successful.
Now, I said to Aaron, when I came back to NWA, I said, hey, watch this match and please tell me if I ain't got it anymore because I'll listen to you, you know?
Elevation through honesty, bro. Elevation through honesty.
Aaron came up to me when he wrestled Nick Aldis for the championship and he was in the pandemic and he wasn't in the best shape. And he said, hey, just be honest with me.
I genuinely appreciate it, guys. Yeah, because and EC3, bro, you were an incredible opponent, and I did, like, in all honesty, like, I remember years and years ago, like 2-3 minutes out there in front of a crowd, I'd blow up sky high, and honestly, I thought we had a really good showing. The end obviously didn't go as well as I would have liked it. You know, got a little excited and then,
got your ass kicked. That's what happens.
Caught my foot in the rope. But, you know, I, I, I think you're right, Tyler. Like, I was battling a lot of demons out there, you know, a lot.
You won.
Yeah, and it was good to be back out there, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity for you guys to let me do that and go out there and just get back at it, you know, and just kind of get back into the world and get out there and fight for this. So,
Kevin,
with that being said, I just want to say this really quick. I'm just putting two and two together, and I feel like the reason I was left off the show is because you stole my spot. So I appreciate it if you don't wrestle.
I don't believe that was the reason.
No, it is. So yeah, you can't wrestle at NWA ever again if it means that I can't wrestle there. Now, if I'm wrestling with you, you can wrestle there. It's okay.
Luke,
believe you me, there is somebody there that we don't want there that you're more than willing to fill.
Somebody? Somebody? Oh, it's like 25. Take your pick.
There's a couple names here right off the top of my head, but we won't go into that.
Yeah, and I bet y'all took that group picture, the Wiseman group picture without me, and I'm
No, because I don't like the photographer.
Our regular photographer wasn't there. It was the photographer that I kicked out of the restaurant. So I don't take pictures with him. I had one of the coldest jackets, matching singlet, hat, everything.
I seen it.
Yeah. Said, you want to take a picture? I said, not with you. So, because I'm petty. That's the only way because I didn't take no pictures, nothing. Nothing. They'd be like, hey, can we get a quick high school graduation pic? Nope. He taking it? That motherfucker taking it? Nope. Not going to happen. So
I seen the singlet, though.
Yeah. I had all the thing, but like they said, hey, can you go take some pictures? And I looked. I said, nah, not with him. I'll wait till the other guy gets back. I'm consistent.
It's a very strong fashion week.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah, everybody, you know, but you didn't miss nothing. But all right, man, the producers are looking at me. All right, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. This has been Tyrus and the Wiseman. Enough said. Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.